The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So at this time, we welcome our podcast, YouTube, and Facebook audience. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, we're going to continue our series on the new insights into the days of Lot. This is our second message. Our first message we broadcasted on Tuesday. If you've not seen that, please go back and watch that message. I believe you'll be blessed and encouraged by that message. Today, I want to deal with the title of this one is They Were Eating and Drinking and Giving in Marriage Until the Day. So what we're doing is in this series, if you're new to this series, we're expounding, and I believe we can pull some things out of the timeline of the days of Lot, and we can apply that to the future. And I believe what we saw happen then is what we're going to see happen in the future. So let me give you this verse of scripture, Luke 17:22-30. If you have a Bible, you can follow along with this. You guys that are watching this by broadcast by YouTube, you're going to see those scriptures come up on your screen. And again, this is Luke 17:22-30. Let me give you a little bit of a backdrop. The disciples came to Jesus privately and they asked him, what will be the signs of your coming? What will be the signs of the end of the age? They were asking him and they were inquiring him of things in regards to the end times, things to look for, things to observe, and things to watch out for. And this is what it said in Luke 17:22-30. And then he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as lightning flashes out of one part under heaven and shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So again, we did a four-part series on the days of Noah, and we emphasized this, and we talked about this parallel. But today we're shifting gears. Now watch this, verse 28. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, somebody say he went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, verse 30, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So guys, there is a huge clue right here to how this thing is going to be played out. He says, watch this. He says, as it were in the days of Noah. Let me read this. As it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. He says they were eating, they were drinking, they were giving a marriage, they were doing everything. They were living a normal life. I'm going to emphasize these things a couple times here. And it says, until the day that Noah entered the ark. So notice, when Noah entered the ark and the door was supernaturally shut of the Lord, something shifted. Noah entered the ark and then the judgment came. I hope everybody sees that. It's plainly right there in scripture. And then he says, then let's look at the days of Lot. Watch this. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out, Lot was removed from the cities of the plains. and he was moved to a place called Zoar. Listen, says on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, then it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, question. Flood came, destroyed them all. Who was spared? Noah and his family. Lot and those who he could get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, which was his wife and two daughters, were taken out of the cities of the plains. And then what happened? Judgment came and destroyed them all. So I hope everybody sees this. There's a picture here. There's a parallel here. The righteous was spared and the judgment befell upon them all and wiped them out and destroyed them. So, question, what was going on in the days of Lot? What was happening in the cities of the plains? And I believe that Jesus tells us that there was common practices that was taking place in those days that will also be occurring in the days of his return and the days of judgment. You've got to see this. There's no way that you can, there's no way that we can ignore this. So watch this. They were eating, drinking, buying and selling, building homes. Come on, there was commercial and industrial going on. And it's interesting that when in the days of Noah, the Lord says that they were given in marriage. But when he starts emphasizing the days of Lot, he doesn't emphasize given in marriage or marriage. It's almost like it's almost as if marriage becomes obsolete or it's not mentioned. So there's a couple theories here. Either one, marriage in the latter days, as we get closer to the time of the end, will no longer be emphasized. It will no longer be sacred. Come on, holy matrimony as God created it will no longer be sacred, no longer be holy, no longer be consecrated. And it's interesting because there was an article that just came out, a new study came, and it said that this generation now, 2020, is now saying that they don't really see much of an emphasis or much of a desire or a need to be in marriage before having children. So it's interesting. I'm just saying I believe that's interesting that it's again, in the days of Lot here, he doesn't mention giving in marriage. So there's not an emphasis so much on marriage. I'm not saying that they won't be given in marriage, but I believe, isn't it interesting? Even the definition of marriage has been redefined by a whole generation, and it's not according to the word of God. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to use wisdom there. I think everybody here that is filled with the Holy Spirit and knows the word of God, they know exactly what I'm talking about here. So that's interesting to me. According to this passage above, excuse me, we can assume here that life will be what we deem to be normal before judgment comes and the Son of Man makes his appearance. Now, I want to shift gears here and I want to emphasize something that I think is interesting. When we talk about the days of Noah and Lot, or especially Sodom and Gomorrah, when we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a huge emphasis on sexual immorality. Now, sexual immorality, by definition, covers a vast, wide venue of all kinds of things that would be considered sexual immorality. We're talking about adultery. We're talking about fornication. We're talking about pornography. We're talking about homosexuality. We're talking about all these things are all right in the same boat of sexual immorality. So there's a huge emphasis on sexual immorality that was taking place in the days of Lot. And that's true. That was going on. But according to the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, I want to show you that there was other things that was taking place in the cities of the plains that were just an abomination as sexual immorality. Again, this is Ezekiel 16. And I want to take you to 48 through 50, Ezekiel 16, 48 through 50. That's where I'm going to be reading from. Again, you guys will see this on YouTube. As I live, saith the Lord God, neither your sister Sodom, nor her daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. Verse 49, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had, and here's the sins, ready? They had pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty. That's the same as pride. So that's why I didn't add that one. And number five, they committed abomination. That's where your sexual immorality comes in. Let me say that one more time. So if you're taking notes, five sins of Sodom and Gomorrah that were so grotesque and so detestable to the Lord that eventually they were judged because of these five sins. And all five of these are emphasized, highlighted, and mentioned by the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 16. Let me read those again. It said, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. Watch this. Again, this is in verse 49. There was pride. There was fullness of bread. There was abundance of idleness. In other words, they weren't just idle. There was an abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And number five, they committed abomination before me. There, and it says, therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. Now, I can take you over into the book of Jude. We could talk about 1 Peter. And it talks about that the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, were destroyed and they were set as an example to future generations. So in other words, this was a warning. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened in the days of Noah, these are all warnings to future generations. In other words, if we go in the ways of the days of Noah, that's going to be our demise. We go in the ways of the cities of the plains, we go in the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah, then it's going to be met with fiery indignation, judgment, and wrath. Now, I'm going to begin to read here. From the book of Jasher. Again, it's spelled Jasher. It's mentioned twice in the Old Testament. We covered this in our last segment, in our last series on the days of Noah. I call this Jewish history. Again, it's quoted in the book, in the Old Testament twice. In the book of Jasher, if you go to Jasher chapter 19, when you start reading the book of Jasher chapter 19, it starts giving you very detailed imagery of just how wicked it was in the cities of the plain. So for the next few moments, I want to take you on a journey, and then we're going to close this thing. I want to take you on a journey to the times of the cities of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, so I'm going to read this quote. In the cities of Sodom, they had four judges to four cities. So there was four cities in the cities of the plains. Okay. And there was four judges over these cities. Now listen, this is in Jasher 19. By the desire of the four judges, interesting, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had beds erected in the streets of the cities. And if a man came to these places, in other words, if a stranger came to any of these places where these beds were laid out, the men of the city laid hold of him and they would bring him to one of their beds and by force made him to lie in them. I'm not going to go into detail what they were doing in the bed, but I believe that you have enough common sense to figure out what was going on. This was no longer, oh, come on, somebody. In other words, it got to a point that was so bad in the cities of the plains that things were not just behind closed doors. Now things were being done openly in the open square in front of God, in front of people, in front of children, in front of families, in front of anybody and everybody. There was no shame. And it was done openly. Remember, they were haughty, they were prideful, and they boasted in their immorality. Listen to this. Verse 6. And if that man continued to cry out to them, they would answer him saying, thus shall it be done to a man that comes into our land. And when men heard all these things that the people of the cities of Sodom did, they refrained from coming there. In other words, word got out how wicked it was in the cities of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, that people had no desire to come. They were fearful. When they were looking for a home to live or a neighborhood to plant their family in, the realtors, I'm using modern vernacular if you don't mind, the realtors would say, no, you definitely don't want to go on that side of the neighborhood. Remember, this is the place that Lot towed his family and took his family to move and set up their residence at. This is the place, Sodom and Gomorrah, cities of the plains. It was so bad that when word got out, men refrained from entering into the cities of the plains. Verse 8 of this is again, this is Jasher 19. It's again spelled J-A-S-H-E, pronounced Jasher. The J is silent here. And when a poor man came to their land, they would give him silver and gold and cause a proclamation in the whole city not to give him a morsel of bread to eat. Now remember, the Lord said that this place had fullness of bread. In other words, they had restaurants on every corner. You could go, there's a restaurant here. They had an abundance of bread, but they, according to Ezekiel, they refrained from giving to the poor. Remember, it says they had an abundance of bread, or they had fullness of bread, but they did not extend their hand to the poor and needy. They became selfish, they became self-centered, and it was all about them. So listen what it said in the book of Jasher. Again, this is Jewish history. It says that if a stranger entered into the cities of the plain, they would give that individual silver and gold. In other words, I hope somebody would get this. Remember, the judges of those cities ruled. In other words, the government became tyrannical. They called the shots. They determined how much food you would get. They determined how much of an allowance you would get. They determine your status. They determine your livelihood. This was the status of Sodom and Gomorrah. So that when you moved into the city and you became a citizen, you will get an allowance. Here's your silver and gold. This is what you get an allowance to. And you, this is it. This is all you get. Now watch this. And if the stranger should remain there some days and die from hunger, not having been able to obtain a morsel of bread, then at his death, all the people of the city would come and take their silver and gold, which they had given to him. Think about that. So they gave to this man, but that was all they gave. So if he spent what he had on his allowance or his livelihood or to keep things afloat or to put food on the table, this was all he had. If it ran out, he flat starved to death. And when he died, all the people who gave him silver and gold of the city would come and take the money they gave him and take it back from him. Think about how selfish and just detestable this city was. Verse 30. And they said to each other, this can only be that he eats and drinks, for no man can bear starvation for so many days or live as this man has, without even his countenance changing. And three men concealed themselves in a place where the poor man was stationed to know who it was. So in other words, there's a story in Jasher 19. It talks about that there was the daughter of Lot had pity upon a poor man in the city. And when they left him for dead and to starve to death, listen, here's what it says, quote, this is in Jasher 19. And Paltith, I believe that's how you pronounce that, the daughter of Lot, went forth that day to fetch water. She put bread in her pitcher of water, and she went to draw water by the poor man's place, and she took out the bread from the pitcher and gave it to the poor man, and he ate it. And there was three men who were spying on her and saw what they did for the poor man. And they said to her, quote, it is thou then who has supported this man. And therefore he is not starved to death, nor has his countenance changed because you have fed him. And the three men went out from that place in which they were concealed, and they took hold of her and the bread in which the poor man was given, and they took her and brought her before the judges. Listen how wicked the cities of the plains were. And they said to them, thus did she do. And it is her who supplies this poor man with bread. Therefore, he did not die. Now, therefore, declare to us the punishment due to this woman for having transgressed our law. Are you hearing me? So they're going to condemn this woman because she fed a poor man. And it wasn't the men who flat let this guy starve to death who was in the wrong. It was the woman who was in the wrong who tried to help the poor man. Come on. Isaiah said that which is evil will one day be, come on, accepted as good, and good will be accepted as evil. So they took her and brought her before the judges, and they said to them, thus did she do, and it is he who supplied this poor man with bread. Therefore did he not die. Now listen to this. Verse 35, and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah assembled and kindled a fire in the streets of the city, and they took the woman and cast her into the fire, and she was burned to ashes. So this was another daughter that that Lot had. Not the two that came out of the city, but this was one that was burned to ashes. The young woman saw him sitting by the door of the house, and he asked her for a drink of water. She said to him, where art thou? And he said to her, I was this day going on the road and reached her when sunset, so I will abide here all night. In the morning, I will arise early and continue my journey. And the young woman went into the house and fetched the man bread and water to eat and drink. And this affair became known to the people of Admah, and they assembled and brought the young woman before the judges. Again, this is just reiterating this, and then they carried out this judgment. And the people, listen to this, and the people of the cities of those cities assembled and brought out the young woman and anointed her with honey. So now they're going to give you details of this. They covered her with honey from head to foot as the judge had decreed, and they placed her before a swarm of bees, which were then in their hives, and the bees flew upon her and stung her that her whole body was swelled. And the young woman cried out on account of the bees, but no one took notice of her or even pitied her. And her cries ascended to heaven. And verse 44 says, and the Lord was provoked at this and all the works of the cities of Sodom, for they had an abundance of food and had tranquility among them, and still would not sustain the poor and needy. And in those days, their evil doings and sins became great before the Lord. So again, I'm giving you a snapshot of history. How wicked was it? Now I want to go back to, now let's go back to Luke 17. In the beginning of this message, I brought out Luke 17, 22 through 30. Now I want to continue in verse 31. This is what Jesus said to his disciples in verse 31. In that day, in other words, in the day that God begins to pour out his judgment, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him now not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Now, I'm going to, in our next series, not today, but our next message, number three, we're going to elaborate on Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife, three words of Jesus. And I got a whole message on that third segment. But I'm going to go on with this second message here. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life will preserve it. Verse 34, I tell you, in that night, what night? Again, let's go back to the original setting of this in Luke 17. As it were in the days of Noah, as it were in the days of Lot. They were eating, drinking, giving a marriage, planting, sowing, reaping. They were living life as normal. And then Noah, watch this. I'm in the context here. Text is everything. Noah entered the ark and the judgment came. Lot and his family was taken out of the cities of the plains, and fire and brimstone rained down from heaven. So now let me go to verse Luke 17, 34. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men. Two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Verse 35, two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and another left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Now, there is a whole interpretation of this and a whole theology based on that. And I've read this and studied this out as well, that they believe that this incident right here, one left and one taken, is going to happen during the tribulation. But I don't believe that's the case. Again, we all have different angles on this. I'm not going to be so dogmatic on this that I'm not open to reason here. But I'm just going to tell you from context is everything. Again, Noah entered the ark, judgment came, Lot was taken out, judgment came. So it says one will be left, one will be taken. So again, it is reason to believe here that if you are left, then you are going to have to go through something. You're going to have to go and endure something. Okay, watch. Let me give you more for this. Again, that was Luke 17, 31 through 36. Let me give you, I want to just kind of dovetail off of this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Paul, the apostle, is expounding to, listen to me, believers, not unbelievers. I want to say that again. Paul is speaking to believers, not unbelievers here. This is into the church of Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, my brethren and sisters, concerning those who have, your Bible says, fallen asleep. That is a Greek idiom meaning who have died. That this does not mean they are sleeping. It means they are died. I do not want you, concerning those who have died, I do not want you to be ignorant, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You don't, listen, nobody cries because somebody fell asleep, but we do shed tears over those who have died. Come on, somebody. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, or those who have died in the Lord. Listen, even at the taping of this message, someone that we know personally today died of coronavirus. Yes, it's a real thing. And they really died of it. They got sick with it and they died. But the bad news is they died, and that's very sorrowful and it's sad. But the good news is they did know the Lord. So watch this. So their soul and their spirit is now with him. Now to all my Seventh-day Adventists and those who believe in soul sleep, I'm sorry, but according to the Bible, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul said, I knew a man that was either in the body or out of the body. I do not know. It is my belief that he was, when he wrote that, he was stoned in the city of Lystra and he actually died. And the Bible says that he went into the third heaven and he went there in the paradise of God. He was present with the Lord because his soul and spirit came out of his body. God permitted him to go into heaven and see things, feel things, hear things, and touch things that he was not permitted to even speak about. Read it. It's in 1 Corinthians 12. So again, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But watch this. Let me get back to this. Watch this. It's all in this context here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or those who are dead. Now, ready? This is what's powerful. Paul told the church of Thessalonica, remember, believers, for this, we say to you by the word of the Lord. That's heavy. By inspiration of the Lord. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Do you know what that tells me? There is going to be a generation of believers. Come on, this should make you excited. You and I could be a part of the we that Paul is talking about. Somebody, One generation, whether it's our generation, it could be our children's generation, it could be our children's generation, I don't know. But there is going to be a generation of believers that are going to be alive on the earth when the Lord returns. That's what he says. Listen to this. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are dead. Listen, verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Who's going to rise first? Those who have died in Christ. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Harpazoed in Greek, snatched up, caught up, gathered together, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. You say, what's your point, preacher? What's that got to do with the days of Lot? Here's my point. Just like there was people on earth when God showed up and brought judgment, there will be people on the earth when the Lord returns, come on, out of heaven. There's going to be a generation that's going to be alive and remaining that will be caught up. And I believe, remember Luke 17, one will be in the field grinding. One will be left, one will be taken. Two will be in the bed, one will be left, one will be taken. Two will be in the house, one will be left, one will be taken. So there's a separation of individuals being left and individuals being taken. Whew. All right, now watch this, Matthew 24:36-44. If you want to turn there, Matthew 24. Watch this. Jesus, Paul, I told you, Paul was speaking to the church of Thessalonica, to believers. Here in Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking to believers. Somebody say he's speaking to believers, because I'm telling you, you got to get this. You've got to get this in your spirit. Matthew 24:36-44. But of the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So again, something shifted there. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And then two, I know we're repeating stuff here, but it's good. You're learning stuff here and getting this in your spirit. And then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other be left. Two women be grinding into meal, one be taken, one be left. Listen to this, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Who's he talking to? Us, believers. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's talking to us. Okay, now let's go on to Luke 21. Luke 21, 34 through 36. Again, whole backdrop is the signs of the coming of the Lord. Disasters, earthquakes, plagues, pestilence, famines, false prophets, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, rumors of war, the whole shebang there, the whole thing. But then he gets down to verse 34, Luke 21, 34 through 36. Listen to this. He's again, the Lord speaking to us believers. He says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. That's interesting. Our hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of life. Oh, that's right. That's what was going on in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Let me say it again. That's what was going on in the days of Noah and Lot. Their hearts was weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of life. Remember, Ezekiel said they had an abundance of idleness. Everybody wanted money, but nobody wanted to work for money. Oh, you didn't hear me. Everybody wanted a handout. They wanted government assistance. They wanted money, but they didn't want to work for it. Oh, I want it free. Everybody wants something free. Abundance of idleness. They had abundance of food. They were haughty. Everybody, listen, when you have an abundance of idleness and abundance of food and you got everything handed to you, no wonder there was such sexual immorality. Because listen, idle hands cause problems. Oh, you ever heard of the phrase, idle hands are the devil's workshop? You get a bunch of people around that ain't got no vision. They don't have no inspiration. They don't got no intuition. They don't have any get up and go. They don't have any devotion. They don't have any purpose. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it turns into a devil's workshop. So isn't it interesting that Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. What day? The coming of the Lord. Listen, verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, you know what he's talking about? Now he's not including just us. He's including everybody, believers and unbelievers. He said, it will come that day. The coming of the Lord will come as a, he said, it will be a snare. It will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Listen to verse 36, guys. Watch therefore and pray always that you, now he shifted from them to us and says, watch therefore and pray always that you, us believers, may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Again, this is why I hold to and believe that in the book of, up here in the book of Matthew 24, where he talks about one will be left, one will be taken. I believe it's an absolute picture of the catching away, the gathering together, the harpezo, the rapture. I know people's going to get all upset with me. Well, I'm unsubscribing because he said rapture. Listen, if that's all it takes to offend you, honey, then you might as well unfriend us, unsubscribe for us, and unfollow us. Because if that's all it takes to offend you, trust me, just hold on a little bit longer, because I'm surely going to offend you some other time worse than that. But I'm telling you, this is my belief. I believe line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. I'm painting this picture for you and showing you that there has always been, from the beginning all the way into the Egypt, even when the children of Israel were in bondage for 400 years to the Egyptians, when God showed up through a deliverer named Moses, God made a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. There was a separation between those who served him and those who did not serve him. In the days of Noah, there was a separation between those who did not serve him and those who did serve him. In the time of Lot, the two angels showed up at Lot's door and he says, is there anybody in your house, anybody in your family? He says, hurry up, get your family and get out of the city, for we can do nothing until you are out. Why could the angels not bring judgment while Lot was still present in the cities of the plains? Because your Bible says in the New Testament that Lot was considered to be a righteous man who was vexed by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked day in and day out in the cities of the plains. And because he was righteous, and because he had a covenant with God, and because he served God and he was faithful to God, God said, I am not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. When Moses and God had an argument about whose people they were, Moses was arguing with God. They said, they're your people. God said, no, they're your people. God said, I'm going to wipe them all out because they've turned to idolatry. They're down there worshiping a golden calf with Aaron while you're up here trying to get my commandments for the people. And God became so angry. Come on, I wish somebody would read your Bible, because it's in there. God got so angry and so mad at what the children of Israel were doing, falling into idolatry, that God told Moses, listen, Moses, I love you and I love your family and you have a covenant with me. I am going to wipe all of them out and I'm going to start over with you. And Moses had to call God to remembrance that he had a covenant with the people. And Moses said, if you're going to blot them out and you're going to wipe them out, you're going to have to wipe me out too. Don't tell me God don't mark the righteous and he don't make a distinction between, oh, Malachi chapter 3 tells me that there is a book in heaven called the Book of Remembrance. You can go read it right now. Go read it in the book of Malachi chapter 3. There's a book of remembrance written before the Lord for those who feared him and spoke often one to another about the Lord. And the Bible says that God said, I will spare them on that day, like precious jewels and precious gems, so that you may know that God makes a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. Come on, the book of Nahum says that God reserves his wrath for his enemies. You and I are not the enemies of God. Come on, and the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that God, come on, it says that he has reserved his judgment and his wrath for those that don't know him. But he says that we have salvation in Jesus Christ. That's a paraphrase of that. I don't have that scripture right here, but I'm telling you, listen to this. Now let me close with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. The Apostle Paul, again, speaking to the church of Thessalonica, speaking to believers in Christ. Here's what he says, 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Listen to verse 4. The Holy Ghost just messing me up right here. Listen, I got to back up here and say this again. I know I'm getting excited. Listen, somebody said, why are you getting so excited? Listen, why do you get excited about football games? Why do you get excited about sports or hunting or fishing or your hobby or something worldly? Come on, if you have the Holy Ghost in you and your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life and you've read the end of the book, come on, you're going to get excited too. So I'm going to read this again. He says, concerning the times and seasons, brother, listen, he says, I don't need to even write to you. He says, when they start saying peace and safety and all this, he says, destruction's coming. Listen to this. And they shall not escape. They shall not escape. Listen to verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Come on, Noah wasn't overtaken as a thief on the day of judgment and when the great deluge came and the flood wiped them out. Noah wasn't in the dark. Noah was preaching for 120 years that this was coming, and he was warning him for 120 years. Lot wasn't in darkness. He knew that these angels were getting ready to pour out God's wrath on these cities and wipe them out through fire and brimstone. He wasn't in darkness. He knew it was coming. Guys, listen, we have no excuse. We know the word. We have the word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And we know, as it were in the days of Noah, Lot, it's coming again. No, God's not going to flood the earth with God's not going to flood the entire earth with a great deluge as he did in times past. But the Bible says that the next judgment is coming by fire. They will not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. Listen to this. You, verse 5, are all sons of light. And I'm going to say sons and daughters. Your sons and daughters of light and sons and daughters of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk, they get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Listen to this, verse 9. Ready? Here it is. This is where I'm going to close with this message today. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep. And I told you that that's an idiom. That's whether we wake or whether we die, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. Hallelujah. Come on. I hope you've enjoyed today's second segment of this series. Again, I don't believe there's much more evidence that we can give you to reveal to you that there is coming, just as in times past, there was a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous, and God rewarded the righteous by sparing them from things to come. Even Jesus said in the gospel in the New Testament, Matthew 24, he said, pray that you may be found worthy to escape all these things. Listen to me. Why in the world would Jesus tell us to pray that we may be found worthy to escape all these things if there was not a capability or an opportunity to escape these things? Because I get this all the time. Well, one thing I don't believe about the rapture, and why I don't believe in the rapture and the catch in the way, is because it's escapism, brother. And I said, you're exactly right. And Jesus told me to pray that I may be found worthy to escape all these things. Jesus ain't going to tell us to pray for something if he didn't intend on answering it, or if there was if it was capable of even being answered. Come on, let the bells and whistles go off up here, guys. Use your brain. So this is what I want to tell you again. endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.org. Com. That's going to be our main website. That's where you can follow us. That's where you can subscribe to us. That's where you can keep up with this. That's our main landing page. Before I give you some more information on how you can keep up with this and how you can partner with this, I want to pray for everybody under the sound of my voice, watching by that camera, listening by podcast. Listen, if you're watching this, listen to this, and you know that you are not right with God. If something was to happen today, if your heart was to stop beating, if you were to get sick and die, if you were to die in a car accident, if something was to happen today, you know in your heart, A, I don't know the Lord, or B, I'm not right with the Lord. We want to give you that opportunity to make things right, right now, right where you're at. If in your living room, in your office, in your car, if you can do this, I implore you to do this. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes, get your heart right with God right now. Begin to open your mouth. Begin to talk to Him. Begin to confess your sins to Him. Begin to confess your need for Him. Ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to save you, wash you, and cleanse you. The Bible says if he confesses his sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Come on. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He is the high priest of the profession of our faith. He is waiting for you to come to Him. Open arms. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you are backslid, you're away from God, you're in a prodigal state, God's calling you back into the fold, back into the family, back into the Father's house today. Come on, why don't you come today? Why don't you heed this today? Why don't you get your heart right with the Lord today? Come on. No, the Bible says that Noah heeded the word of the Lord and he prepared an ark for the saving of himself and his family. Come on, it's time that we begin to prepare this ark. We begin to make things right with our own lives and get our family ready. Get our coworkers ready. Come on, get those in our community ready. Those in our church ready. Those in our proximity ready. Tell them, implore them. Come on, tell them it's time to stop playing games and get right and get ready with the Lord. Listen, we are closing out the Gregorian calendar. On our calendar today is the last day of 2020. Whether it was a good year, whether it was a bad year, it makes no difference. Here's what I want to tell you. You can listen. Why not start today, make things right so that tomorrow when in about 8 hours now, when the clock strikes midnight, at least here for me in Eastern time, it may be already, listen, some of you, it may already be a new year. Why not start out the new year right and do things right and be on the right side of the tracks? So I pray and trust that you did that today. And I believe that, again, that I believe the Holy Spirit touched some lives today and got some people right with Him, whether it's your first time or you just come back with Him after a time of being away from the Lord. So again, we pray that you made that decision today. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want you to do that right now. Just, or when you get off of this broadcast, go onto the Android store or the Apple store, type in End Time Headlines. Get our free app, download it. It's free. It doesn't take hardly any data at all. Trust me, I have it downloaded in my own phone and I see how much RAM it takes or memory or whatever, and it doesn't take much. So get that app, get it for your convenience, download that, and you'll be blessed by that. And you can keep up with, you got push notifications to keep up with breaking news alerts. You got our podcasts on there, our YouTube channels on there. Everything's going to be on there. All of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective as well. And again, guys, as always, we want to give you the opportunity. If you've not partnered with us and you feel like this ministry is a continuous source of edification, blessing, information, revelation, it's encouraging to you. It's been a blessing in your life somehow, some way. Maybe you've not given anything all year to our ministry, and it's been a great blessing. You say, you know what? I want to close out this year And I just want to, as a gratitude, I just want to sow a one-time gift, or maybe you want to become a partner and start out 2021 and help us to remain strong in 2021 and become a partner of our ministry. You can do that by going to our main website. Again, that right there is going to be on your screen if you're watching by YouTube. Again, endtimeheadlines.org. You can go there. You're going to see a page you can click on to donate or to give. And it's going to bring you to a page where you can give electronically. You can give one time, or you can become a monthly partner. And again, you can give electronically by the app. You can, if you have the app, you can go down to the bottom to the right and you can give by the app, or you can give by check or money order. And again, all that information is there. If you're watching by Facebook Live, right under the description of this message, there's a link right there where it says support ETH. Just click on that link and it's going to take you right there. So again, I want to close out this broadcast by saying thank you to all of our partners, subscribers, our viewers, and everyone who's prayed for myself, my family, this ministry, and has helped us all year and continue year after year to help us remain strong and continue to do what we're doing on a continual basis, week after week, and bringing the gospel, bringing the message, bringing information, breaking news, the whole thing, prophetic updates. And we're going to continue to do that, Lord willing, through the next 12 months. And we appreciate you guys and all that you've done for us to help us do that. Because listen, when you sow into our ministry and you partner with us, you are also reaping those rewards as well. And you guys know that. And we just, again, we appreciate what you guys do to help us do that. So we love you guys. We, from all of us here at End Time Headlines, even those behind the scenes, our media guys, and the website designers and all those that are behind the scenes, for all of us here at End Time Headlines, we want to say and we want to wish all of you, our partners and supporters, a very happy new year going into 2021. I pray the Lord's blessings upon you. I pray that this year coming up would be a great year. It would be a prosperous year. It would be a year that God turns around your health, turns around your family, turns around your ministry, and just a turnaround year for you. And remember, and I want to leave you with this. Remember, going back again to what we talked about, even in Egypt, guys, there was darkness in Egypt, but there was light in Goshen. I believe that it can be darkness all around us and everything that's going on around us. But I'm telling you, we are not succumb to the kingdoms of this world, but we live according to his kingdom. Come on. And God is not broke. God is not nervous. And God is still on the throne. And God still has a plan for each and every one of us in Jesus' name. So until we see you next week, guys, again, have a happy new year. And may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.